Tell your children not to walk my way. Tell your children not to hear my words, what they mean, what they say. Mother, mother, can you keep them in the dark for a while? Can you hide them from the wedding world?
Hello, that of course was Mother by Glenn Danzig, and this is Rachel Wharton. I am the deputy editor of Edible Brooklyn and Edible Manhattan, and this is Brooklyn Eats on heritageradionetwork.com. My show today is of course on the year's most important holiday, Mother's Day, which is in 2 weeks, and my guests today are two women who are totally on top of what it means and how to be the world's coolest woman. I have Amy DeLuna. Amy, say hello.
Hi.
She is the features editor at the New York Daily News, and Piper Weiss, who is working on the blog My Mom is a Style Icon, and also a book of the same name. And she's going to explain a little bit about what that is, but it's basically the fact that our mothers were mad, wicked, cool way before we were. In fact, we're stealing everything we know from them. And also, I should, as a caveat, all three of us work together at the excellent New York Daily News.
Good journalism. Thank you. Yes. I'm just going to plug the blog. It's mymomthestyleicon.com. Yeah, and it's about people send in pictures of their moms in their fashion heydays.
And sometimes dads.
And sometimes dads. Dads can sneak in, but dads usually look...
If their shorts are really short.
That's another blog. It basically started with my mom, who I found these pictures of her just looking smoking hot in the 60s, and I stole them from her when she wasn't looking, and I posted them on the internet, and she was surprisingly tolerant when I told her what had happened to them. So now people send in pictures of their moms when they were younger, looking hot, looking sexy, looking like a badass. And
has anybody asked your mom out since you posted these photos?
Oh my God, yeah. And really? I also feel like people have become disappointed when they meet me because they think that I look like my mom, or I've basically started to use her picture in place of mine.
It's your Facebook photo.
Yeah, yeah, it pretty much is.
Okay, and so what are you doing this Sunday right here in Brooklyn?
So this Sunday, My Mom the Style Icon and the blog Brooklyn's Williamsburg Seamster are co-hosting a swap. So bring your clothing that your mom gave you that you hate, bring vintage stuff, bring stuff that you have that you want to get rid of to the Legion Bar on Graham Avenue off the Graham L.
And because this is Brooklyn Eats, okay, I think there's going to be some drinks and snacks.
We're going to have snacks that I will be preparing.
Really, really?
Yes, and I will get to that later because I have a recipe from my mother, in a pinch appetizers that I will be bringing. And we're also going to have some drink specials. And Brooklyn Seamster will be making alterations. So if you see something you like, you can have it.
And your
altered.
Mother isn't around to do it for you.
When your mother isn't around to do it for you. Exactly. But yeah, it'll be awesome. And then the week after that,
Mother's Day weekend.
The mother of all holidays continues. And there's going to be a reading called Mama Says at Word, the bookstore in Greenpoint, and writers like me, Julie Klausner, Dori Shaffir, Jessica Gross, are all going to be reading stories about how our moms have influenced us and fucked us up. Woohoo!
Yes. All right, so now we can get to the food. Okay, so since this is a Mother's Day special, what you do in New York City if you have a mother and she happens to be around is you take her to brunch. And not only do you take your mother to brunch, you have to take yourself to brunch every weekend because it is, for some reason, the most popular meal in New York City. It's absolutely insane. And Amy, you said you had some very strong feelings about brunch.
Here's the thing about brunch. I love brunch. Brunch is maybe the most delicious meal. I think I would eat it just to have brunch three times a day. I will not wait for brunch because by the time I've gotten out of bed, we're talking like noon, and gotten myself to brunch, I'm probably hungover. Yes. I'm exhausted. I'm super hungry. And usually what I'll do is get coffee in advance just in case I have to wait for brunch. But if there's even like a little bit of a line, I can't do it. I would rather have crappy food then stand in a line and wait for good brunch.
So you'll actually go to the brunch spot that you want to go to and then leave.
And then leave. And then I'll go somewhere. I'll go anywhere else.
And where are you going? What do you mean for lunch?
Yeah, exactly. So I live in Astoria. So I go to like spots there. I'll go to Ovelia, which I really enjoy. In Manhattan, I would go to Resto with Piper sometimes.
How come?
get the hangover pasta. I'm not sure you're familiar with it.
No.
It's ridiculous. It's essentially like a carbonara, but with like a giant egg on top. Uh-huh. So you get to mix the egg in, which is so satisfying.
You
to
get a
watch
second hangover after.
You get it, yeah.
And they have beer pairings for this thing? Because that's their big... They actually cause the hangovers in the... Oh, because Piper used to live around the corner.
She used to live right there. Yeah.
Shameful.
The hangover pasta.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Is it a room full of people all ordering hangover pasta?
Yes, everybody's ordering it. Yeah. Everybody's eating it because that's all you want.
But they also have something on that menu because it's in Murray Hill and, you know, you get some... Yet some ladies that are very concerned about their figures. So they also have on the menu.
As our mothers might be.
As our mothers might be. And there are definitely mothers that show up there. So they have like the hangover pasta, which is the fattiest thing you could ever eat. And then next to it, they have the healthy option, which is like an egg white omelet with spinach. And the side is like spinach, you know.
And some ice and air. And those people should be ashamed of themselves.
You feel like you have to get it, but you don't. Yeah. No air or butter.
Have either of you... I want to ask why you think brunch is so ridiculously popular, but first, have either of you ever taken your mother out to brunch in New York City?
You know, I'm taking my mom out to dinner this Mother's Day in New York City. We're going to go to Gramercy Tavern.
Nice.
Because she hasn't been there yet, and I tried
to
take her.
Another place with an incredibly well-diverse beer list.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, she won't drink it, but she's, you know, she wants her, like, white Zin or whatever it is she drinks. I tried to take her to Budokan one time, but she was concerned that there would be proselytizing and Buddha statues
and
waiters were going to try to convert her to Buddhism.
Wouldn't Budokan be a lot cooler if that was actually the
case?
It would
be amazing. Yeah. I would love that if there were monks all serving you food.
They're going to convert her to David Schwimmer.
I
saw him outside of there once.
So far out of left field that one, but still hilarious.
Slim dunk.
But wait, okay, so why do you think? Why do you think? You guys have both been covered lifestyle issues in New York City for a long time. Amy, has brunch been like out the wazoo insane since you started?
Totally.
Working the day?
No, it goes completely insane. I mean, one of the things I think that makes it super popular is like in the East Village, for example, there are always like all you can drink deals you can get. So everybody wants, I mean, you need something to drink in the morning on a Sunday.
Yes.
And I think it's a lot about the weekend. It's a lot about it's the slowest meal of the day. It's the time when you can really kind of enjoy and, you know, you've just woken up, you're a little sleepy and it's super relaxing. And I also think it's a little bit cheaper than dinner, but you often get so much good, hearty food that it's better than dinner. I mean, you get so much stuff. Where did we go, Piper, in Williamsburg that we loved that had the good hash browns and...
Oh, Five Leaves.
Oh, Five.
Five Leaves rules. I kind of feel like, brunch is like the, like, under 60 sets version of the Blue Plate Special. Where it's like, you know, it's a cheap package and you get like 16 sides.
And you're
you
almost
know?
Guaranteed, unlike a dinner where you're like, oh my, I'm going to pay $65 at even just a no star whatever place.
Yeah.
And it may or may not be good. But brunch, you're just like... How it's like takes a skilled cook to really fuck up a brunch.
It's true. It's true.
And you're gonna pay $25 no matter where you go.
Yeah.
Tops. And
you're
gonna
get a free mimosa.
Two Bloody Marys. Exactly.
Yeah. You better.
But because I don't. Well, Piper, you grew up in Boston.
Because
I grew up in a. What was then pretty small, Raleigh, North Carolina. And like the brunch is a phenomenon that just like hit me like a ton of bricks when I moved to New York City. I was like, good Lord. Because there's like, you know, you could go to like the Waffle House when I was growing up. And so like I was just not familiar with this brunchdom that you do.
With the whole concept of it. I have friends in Boston who eat two meals for brunch. They have breakfast one and then brunch. Because by the time they wake up and then you can't really respectfully eat brunch until like 12:30, right? You can't show up at 10, you're a dork.
You have to pre-brunch.
Yeah, so they'll go get bagels and have breakfast one and then they get brunch.
Well, that would also be that's a very strategic way to deal with the line.
Yes, and also just getting as much food in your mouth as you can in a day.
That's the tricky thing about brunch, though. There is a downside, and that is the line and the scene. Because always just the best places for brunch, the place that you always hear about in Williamsburg, it's Egg. In Greenpoint,
is it still
it's
Egg?
Five
really,
Leaves.
Really?
I feel like I've tried to go there a couple of times. Same with Brooklyn Star. And,
well,
and it's just
burn.
A line. And it's always when you're hungrier than ever. It's more important than ever to get coffee and booze in your body, stat.
Right.
And you end up going to like McDonald's because you're like, I don't care, just get me something.
I'm surprised that there's not more people passing out online.
No, it's true.
Like blood sugar.
There should be like
hangover.
An EMS team.
There should be like an IV. You can option, you know what I mean? They can just like stick it in and you can wait.
Or have you ever had to do a story where you actually went and interviewed people waiting online for brunch?
Well, I probably would have had you do that story.
No, but but like what? Like what are they thinking? Like right at that?
Oh, I'm sure there are hideous story. People who are angry and you know their blood sugar's low and they're mad.
They might have if they're lucky, they have a flask.
Yeah, right. Right.
Or okay, they've been up since the night before.
So if you were going to take your mother to brunch in Brooklyn or Manhattan, where do you think?
I'm a big fan of El Amasien.
Really?
Thank you. Yeah. I really love it. I discovered it a couple months ago.
It's on Driggs. Williamsburg.
Yeah, in Williamsburg on Driggs on like North 6th. They have a great brunch. I want them to incorporate more of their fish, which they have in their dinners.
Uh-huh.
But their brunch is huge and hearty. And it's, you know, you can get steak and eggs, which I just love. And my mom would probably dig right into.
Really?
Yeah. She's an egg, steak, potato That's type awesome. Of lady. That's why I respect her.
Mm. Yes. And it shows off in those pictures.
I know. Lady is svelte, I got to tell you. We've got good genes. Not good.
So what makes it... Well, it's not just the hardiness, though. It's the place itself, the ambience. The ambience.
Yeah. Well, the El Amasien has got an outside and an inside, which I think is particularly important. It's good to have options. They've got music that isn't, you know... too loud because I'm an old lady.
Uh-huh.
I hate loud music.
What are all the kids doing here listening to this music?
Turn that racket down.
Sometimes I'm that person.
Get off any my
place
lawn.
With white tile. It's like code for Pulino. Have you guys been?
Pulino. No, I've heard things.
I've been. I was sitting next to Katie Lee Joel.
Oh my God.
Really? Yes. Yeah.
How was it? Was it worth it? I've heard there's a velvet rope out front because that's what you want when you're going to dinner.
You know, I think, I honestly think that I went to Pulino's on a day that the guy working the door must have been like his first 20 minutes on the job because I walked in by myself. The people I were meeting weren't even there yet. And he was like, I'll seat you right now. Your friends can just meet you later, which is not done anywhere.
Anywhere. Yeah, right?
And this is like that's the hottest outlawed. Restaurant yes. in town. And I was like, okay. And so like, and like the guy came over and gave him like the tisk in the finger, but he had
for
already sat
nice
me. So I
you.
Got to just sit there and drink cocktails.
He'll never be nice again because he was chided for it.
Saw like, a man get fired.
I was like, wow. I was like, I texted my friends like, they just sat me without you guys. Like, hell yeah. It's like such a charmed night. It was good. I can, you know, super thin. I mean, this is like totally brunch pizza. Yeah. But pizza's like so objective. It's like we're here at a pizza place, which has beautiful puppy
it's
crust
gorgeous.
Pies.
We're looking at it while we're talking.
You should be eating it.
We're putting our face in it as we're talking.
like Pulino's is super thin. So if you like that and you like white tile and... eating next to Katie Lee Joel, which, I mean, who doesn't?
That's what I aim for. I follow her around so I can make sure I do.
With a lunchbox so you can eat near her.
So anyway, like, we're about to wrap up this first very important Mother's Day brunch section. Is there any other suggestions for Mother's Day brunchers?
Don't make your mom wait either. Because if you're mad, she's going to be really mad when she's hungry.
What could you do with your mom? Is there like some sort of iPod app that you could play with your mother while you waited?
Like a baby. Yeah. Like distract her with a Barney video.
Just download
video.
Baby pictures of yourself to your phone and you're golden. And the flask. All important flask. We will be back in just a few minutes.
Mama said there'll be days like this. There'll be days like this.
This is Rachel Wharton. I'm the deputy editor of Edible Brooklyn and Edible Manhattan. This is Brooklyn Eats on heritageradionetwork.com. And today's show is on Mother's Day. I have two very important guests. One is Amy DeLuna, the lifestyle editor at the New York Daily News. The other is Piper Weiss, who is working on the blog My Mom is a Style Icon and a book of the same name. And we actually just had a very important question from one of our listeners, which is, when is Mother's Day? It is next Sunday, May 9th.
Two Sundays
from now, May 9th. put it in your calendar now. And so for the second half of this show, I want to talk about, okay, so Piper's blog and book is basically about the fact that our mothers were super stylish and we're stealing everything cool we know from them. Piper, you can jump in if I'm saying that incorrectly.
So I
want to ask Amy and Piper things about eating, drinking, or what you do when you're eating and drinking, or dishes that things that your mother taught you that are actually turning out to be exactly that, like iconic.
I have a couple of things that my mother has instilled in me food wise. She uses smoke flavor for everything.
And wait, you mean liquid?
Yes.
It's
nuts. We have I'm sure that it is the cause of, like, you know, I'm going to have a baby with a horn growing out of it.
She's a smoky horn.
We have the same, like, and the, like, label looks like it's from 1965, but okay. The lady puts it in everything.
I'm just going to interject that. Okay, so to draw the parallel that your mother is, like, light years up. So have you noticed that, like, barbecue and smoky things are really, really trendy right now?
I'm telling you, man. Yes. She's a trend forecaster. It's amazing. The other thing that
maybe it's not everyone's mom. Maybe it's just your mom.
Yeah, my mom's pretty savvy when it comes to style and flavors. And she also bequeathed me with this.
Wait. I got it. Before you go to
hit me.
What does she put liquid smoke in?
I don't even know. I just see it. I see it out when she's cooking, and I'm like, where and why? And she's like, oh, just today. Things like meatloaf, any kind of, like, meat on the Jewish holidays. It's usually like, oh, we're going to have four people over, and there's going to be a turkey and a brisket and a lamb and a, you know, like, there's usually like eight different animals that have been slaughtered for family. I remember bringing a boyfriend over and he literally just, like, broke out into a fever because he'd eaten so much meat.
Or consumed so much liquid smoke.
/ liquid smoke, exactly.
But you have she's yet to tell you how to actually use that.
No, it's my, I have to be about 60 to pick up on that.
Liquid smoke.
It's going to be in her will.
Yeah, exactly. But she did teach me, what she calls little white pizzas, which are these instant appetizers that anyone can make.
When did she teach you this?
She taught me this a long time ago, but then also about 15 minutes ago.
But when you were a little kid, did you remember her making them?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. And they were pretty good, but then when I found out what was in them, I was kind of grossed out. Mm. So, P.S., make them, but don't tell anyone what they consist of.
But you've made them recently.
I made them a couple of years ago, and I think I'm going to bring them to the swap this Sunday.
At?
Legion Bar. Yes. Oh, right. Hey,
what? Does anyone else have anything they want to plug right now?
I got nothing. I know.
So what did people think when you made them recently?
They didn't say anything. Is that a good sign?
Did they eat them all?
Everything's gone. Okay. But, you know, so a lot of booze was consumed.
Okay, so read the recipe.
So the recipe is a cup of mayonnaise, one chopped onion, a half a cup of grated Parmesan cheese, and some black pepper. Mix it all up, okay? And then buy yourself some cocktail rye. You know, the rye bread that's just like little, like, cracker-sized, or Toast Points will do. And then spread a little bit from the batter, if you will, onto it, and then put it in the broiler for 2 minutes until it bubbles, and then take it out, and you've got yourself some seriously delicious hangover
Poof.
Food.
That's okay, awesome. So when Piper was telling me about this recipe earlier, what I love about this recipe is that my very first apartment, my mom gave me, like, a bunch of little cast-off cookbooks, and one of them was, like, this little Bon Appetit appetizer book, and one of the ones, and she had made this recipe, and I made it, and basically what happens is if you mix mayonnaise with anything, the eggs and the mayonnaise rise, so like, you can mix, like, all kinds of herbs or flavoring with mayonnaise, and then you put it on a toast and put it in the oven, and it puffs because of the eggs and the mayonnaise. So, like, I'm well familiar, I've Cuisinarted or blended a bajillion things with mayonnaise. I've, like, made these so many times. And so, yes. Thank you, Mom.
Thanks,
we
Mom.
We love you.
Love
you. So you can get that recipe. You can get this recipe that Piper's talking about on
MyMomTheStyleIcon.com.
Yes, and we'll also link to it from EdibleManhattan.com. Woo!
Nice.
Okay.
That's awesome.
So I'm trying to think of, Amy has, and it, not just even recipes, like, when if you have a dinner party, is your mom like, you simply cannot have a dinner party unless you have finger bowls or
something? Well, no.
Mom!
Yes. My family is so unfancy that would never even occur to them. And my mom tends to, like, boil meats, and she makes desserts using ladyfingers and pineapple in a can and Cool Whip. So cooking's, like, not her forte. But what she did teach me in a roundabout way is this, like, fearlessness about food, because her family is from a part of Italy that's landlocked, right? Mm-hmm. And my dad's family is from the coast. So we're super, like, you know, I was given a raw octopus and a pair of shears as a child and just told to hack it up, you know.
That's or like, totally different from whipped cream and...
Totally. Yeah. And I was, like, ripping the head off the squid and, like, finding the dead fish in among the squid and being like, what are we going to do with this, you know? And she enters this family at, like, age 20. They got married so young and had to eat all this stuff that I grew up with and I'm so comfortable with. But, I mean, for her, it was like, are you kidding me? Someone just handed her a piece of octopus and told her to put it in her mouth, and she had never even seen it before. But she ate it, and she never, ever let on to us that she ever thought it was gross because she started to love it and got really used to it. So from her, I think in that way, I always knew it was foreign to her, but that it wasn't something to be afraid of. So... I literally am not afraid of any food
right.
you could possibly put in front of me to this day because I'm, you know, I grew up with weirdness that nobody else ever experienced.
And not to go to like to compare the sexes too much, but I'm actually it's about what I'm going to do. I think that it's pretty badass when women aren't afraid of food, and I think men are always incredibly blown away by it. Totally. I'm always astounded. Thank you, Mom. When I meet men or go on a date with a man and they're talking about someone that they've been out with who like that just eats salad or is afraid of eating, and you're just like, these women still exist
right.
in 2010. It blows my mind. Do you have friends like that? I mean, I have some. No,
it's true. I don't understand people who are afraid of food. Yeah, exactly. They have no place in my life. It makes you want to throw things in their face, you know, and be like, people are eating it. It's not poison. It's going to be okay.
I wonder if that is pet. I mean, my mother is from Lafayette, Louisiana, where you grow up eating crawfish, which are basically like some like
they're like
roaches
bugs.
That are like fist size.
Totally.
So you're not
you're
really
gonna
afraid
suck
of
the stuff out of their head.
Yes.
You'd need
and
to
wear that on your t-shirt.
That.
Yeah. It is pet.
And thing. That might get you a date if you mention that you can do that.
Or if you can do more than most, like 30 of them in a minute. Yeah. You're like the hottest woman in town.
There's a group of men congregating outside the window right now. That's weird.
And they do look pretty burly.
They're waving. They heard us. Hey.
Actually, I think one of them has some sort of dagger in his ear.
Hey. He could open a crawfish with that.
So do you remember your house, mothers are the cooks, or do your fathers do the cooking?
I mean, I have to say my dad did a lot of the good cooking, and then I picked up the slack. I learned how to cook because I was hungry, and her cooking is terrifying.
But would she be the one who ran the parties, though, if you were having people over for dinner?
Totally.
So do you remember, I mean, were there special things that she set the table with? Like, what did your mother do?
My mother is the consummate host, and she cooks everything, and she hosts everything, and my mother has this thing with name cards.
Oh,
she actually bought because paper name cards weren't fancy enough, she got little like glass ones that you can like write the name on and then like rub off. And
are they kind of 80s?
Yeah, they're super. Everything's very 80s. Mm. And she puts them around the table when we have dinner parties. And you know, there's always just like, I'm sitting you with Aunt Sylvia and next to Daddy because Daddy doesn't like Aunt Sylvia. So you're going to break. And I mean, just like the setting of the table and the cooking is nothing. It's the like... 4 hours devoted to like where everyone's going to be sitting and where the nameplates are.
So it's basically like who's going to get along and who's going to spark conversation.
Right. It's basically a wedding every time we have a Jewish holiday.
So how do you see her like if when you're actually staying at home like at two in the morning, your mom has like her glasses on her nose like rearranging the glass.
Yeah, yeah, and everyone's kind of table. Consulted and for years too, I was also very particular about it. So like late at night, if I was over there right before the holidays, I would switch, you know, my tags with someone else's.
And your mom wouldn't, she would notice.
She would notice, but you know, she would let me have that. It was like it was a tacit understanding. You know,
have you ever done it? Have you ever done that yourself? Would you have, or are you like, were you, for like, no. When you would have parties as like a 22-year-old,
I don't have
like,
many friends.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone knows who they are.
You can sit in someone's lap.
Just happy they're coming. Yeah.
But right now. You don't have any but now it's like I think that's awesome.
It is. It's kind of amazing. She's pretty fabulous.
My mom tends to put objects on the table. She loves a decorated table because, and I think it's also part of not being able to cook. She enjoys that part of it. But there are always things like decorative pine cones.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Things just sitting in the middle of the table and giant candelabras. I'm not talking about fancy ones. I'm talking about like weird ones with like Christmas candles in them so that nobody can see each other. Right. Which is super fun with your family. So then you just like are throwing food over it just to try to.
I once spent like 2 hours before some holiday dinner punching cloves into an orange with my friend Jeremy for some like tableau that my mom had planned. Those oranges, I kid you not, unless something's happened since the last time I was home, those oranges are still in a silver bowl like when you walk in the front door of my parents' house. Totally petrified. They look beautiful.
Our cloves go into the ham along with the pineapple on the outside. We enjoy that as a ham decoration because ham needs to be decorated.
Yes.
It's just so plain.
You do need something on your leg.
Yeah,
your
totally.
My mom has this like bowl of apples that are just like a display, and on the top are just like three really great apples, and then like there are 16 like cardboard apples underneath, which I think are really, it's creepy. Well, you know?
So she always has three real apples on top of the
fake
ones?
She's got to have three, exactly. It's just like either go fake or go real, but this half and half shit. Them. Yeah, no, it's screwing everyone up, you know? It's just a little bit Twilight Zone-y.
And so, and did you have a role in dinner parties when you were younger?
Yes. Yeah.
What did mom make you do?
It was that thing where it was like, you pick up, you clean up, you help clean up, and, you know, just like ask if everyone's done, and also walk around with the brisket or just like a 15-pound plate and have to serve it to people, which is like, don't drop it. It's like the scare. I don't actually have that much like arm strength to hold it. So it was one of those things where like relatives would like jump up and help because, you know, if we broke...
You're about to dump, like, 20 pounds of like hot juice in their lap. Yeah.
Exactly. And this china, my mom has this, like, one set of china that she puts out for, like, fancy things. And it's, like, the bane of... Like, that china and I are arch enemies.
Actually, that's a really good point. Okay, so I think our mothers were the last generation where you did china and silver.
Yes.
Yes, totally.
Because we're not even getting married. Like, at this
point... That's a really good point.
Yeah. Nobody's registering for, like, plates, you know? It's right. Like, I need, like, a vacation, car. Right.
So, like, all the things that, like, that the woman took care of, like, that were, like, the mint dinner party. Mm-hmm. Silver and white linen napkins.
Yeah, totally.
And
with your embroidered initials.
Nobody... Where are those all gathering dust in our mother's closets?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, completely. I mean, you don't even touch it anymore. And like they, you know, I think that moms think they're going to hand it down, but you take one look at it and you're just like,
I'm scared of apartments.
Yeah. You know, so you're like, I really don't need this unless it serves a function. Like it's going to be, I'm going to stack the plates and make a table out of them.
So what was, have you guys thrown a dinner party recently?
I mean,
that's another thing about New York. I mean,
yeah, you know what?
It's kind of half and half.
Yeah.
New York City right now is half DIY dinner party potluck, like in your bathtub, yeah, if that's all the space you have, and half like no one ever even, people have shoes in their stove.
Right. Yeah. But I also think it's so much more fun to throw a party with great snacks rather than a sit down dinner of some kind.
Yes. Right.
Like the one Piper just gave us the recipe for.
Gonna make it.
I'm trying to think if my mom ever gave me any great snack. I mean, actually, because I'm a southerner, I mean, pimento cheese. I literally just last Saturday made a snack that was at every single party I went to in Greenwood, Mississippi, where my great aunt and great uncle lived, and it's called sausage balls. Doesn't it sound delicious already?
Delicious.
And it is literally
almost as good as finger balls.
Oh, I don't know. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
I like it though.
What are you talking about?
But sausage balls is equal parts breakfast sausage, Bisquick, and cheddar cheese.
Oh, yum.
Rolled into balls.
Oh, my God.
And oh, yeah, yeah. But I brought these. To me, when I see them,
you
basically put them on a cookie sheet and put them in the oven at 350 till they're done. And they're basically frying in their own fat.
Yes,
and so for me,
are.
I'm like, when I see a sausage ball, it's like Homer Simpson mouth waters. We're about to wrap this up. And but I was expecting everyone to be like, sausage balls, because that's totally, and instead, my mom would have been so proud of me, and I show up at this party, and I put them out, and people are like, they're like more brie, please. And I'm like, sausage balls. Except for like the one, you know, incredibly drunk stone person who was like squeezing mustard directly onto them.
Ball-shaped things are always questionable at parties.
Okay, so before we end, what's a finger ball?
Yeah, what?
I feel like you mentioned it in the first half, and I wanted to
ball.
Ask you
oh,
that
finger
question.
Bowl. Oh,
yeah,
that's my
finger
accent.
Bowl.
Oh,
did
like
you?
To wash your
this isn't our mothers.
I hope no.
This is our mothers. Mothers had finger bowls.
Yeah. Okay.
We should bring them back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll trade them
napkins.
At the swap.
Yeah.
But I was gonna say, bring your finger bowls to the swap on Sunday.
I actually am one of the few people I guess because I love having dinner parties, I have a full set of silver china and like
that's
you know
awesome.
Yeah. So I'll invite you both over for dinner.
Yeah.
And all five people who are listening to this right now are welcome to come over too.
Hey, Mom.
Email me. Okay, so now I will read about our sponsor, which is the Barter House. And we are drinking this fabulous Barter House wine right now, and it's awesome. Cheers.
Chin chin.
So the Barter House is proud to support the Heritage Radio Network and its community of food lovers. That's us. The Barter House works with family vineyards and small bottlers from around the world to bring only the finest and most flavorful wines to market. Committed to sustainable agriculture and artisanal production, the Barter House offers outstanding wines at a wide range of price points to retailers, restaurateurs, and private collectors. To learn more about the Barter House, please visit them on the web at www.thebarterhouse.com or call them, no one ever does that anymore, at 917-463-3076. All right, this is Brooklyn Eats. Woo!